This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
After nearly three decades of being jailed and following years of failed attempts to be released on parole, the Polish immigrant who assassinated the anti-apartheid activist and South African Communist Party leader Chris Hani was granted parole, and the Constitutional Court ordered the Department of Justice to free Chris Hani's killer, Janusz Walus, on parole, and Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, Ronald Lamola, you know, being ordered to release him within 10 days of the order.
How long has he been in prison for, exactly?
About 28 years.
28 years.
That's a long time. So, in delivering his ruling, Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said that the minister's decision was irrational, forced to be reviewed and must be set aside, saying that the decision to deny him parole is irrational. So, among some of the reasons that the minister, Minister Lamola, gave for denying parole application was that the trial court, which had jailed him, had wanted to send a message that would clarify that assassinating political leaders was unacceptable. So we will look at this conversation in detail after 7. Mm-hmm. We will talk to a historian and just have this conversation.
And what's the Hani family saying? Like, I'm just curious because I know Mam Dimpo, the wife to the late Chris Hani. Over the years, she has been very consistent in her stance. You know, she wanted nothing to do with Janusz and said actually he should die in prison.
Mm.
Not in the exact words, but
not
accept the apology.
That's what it
they
was.
They don't want him to come out of prison and this and that. So I really wonder what are they saying now.
We will share, actually. We have a bit of a clip of, you know, she had expressed her thoughts around this. So
what do you make of the ruling, though?
I'm not surprised. I think even previously when he was Janusz, that is, when he was on numerous occasions denied parole, I felt that the reasons they've got to do with emotions more than whether the individual does qualify for parole or not. You know, what are the recommendations? Does he qualify? And the issue with Janusz as well, a lot of people, that is the SACP, his wife, and of course other sympathizers, what they find fault with is the fact that they say he's not disclosing who ordered that particular hit on Hani. That's their main issue. Until he reveals, you know, they feel that he should rot behind bars. And does that qualify as a reason set on the, for one to be granted parole?
I don't think there's anything emotional about that. It's a fair question to ask. You know, they have those victim offender dialogues that would happen before you are, you know, reincorporated back into society. So I would like to believe that one of the things that you must do is be honest, come out clean and say, guys, I'm sorry, this is what I did. And you know, if there are reasons, you give the reasons.
You
apologize, and then you give people closure. This guy doesn't want to say anything. There's nothing emotional about that. I actually think he should have died in prison.
Listen, I hear you, but on the issue around whether, you know, someone, especially during the time when someone's about to be released, them telling the truth and everything, it really depends on whether in the beginning of their incarceration, whether there was an agreement to say, you stay here, we will take care of you, and this is whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
you and your conspiracy.
But I'm not saying.
We'll come back to you. Let's hear from you this morning. 079-899-6226. What do you make of this ruling to release this brother on parole? We are talking about the parole, Janusz Walus, Chris Hani's killer, a ruling made by the Concord yesterday. Earlier on, you know, when I say the brother must have, he should have just rot in prison. It's on the basis of, I don't think he has showed any remorse. And if remorse was to be labeled, I would use exactly the truth.
Okay.
Tell us, as a nation, help the family find closure, that this is the person that ordered the hit. He just didn't wake up in the morning and decided, I'm going to assassinate this guy by himself. It was a hit. Who ordered the hit? Was it someone within the ruling party? Was it someone from the former government? Who was it? I think that is the kind of closure. I'm putting myself in the Hani family and I'm thinking to myself, what would I want to hear about my father?
No, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. And then again, like with what I said, to say that if and maybe I've watched a lot of FBI Hollywood movies, I don't know, but if someone was compensated to a certain extent, yeah, to say, keep your mouth shut no matter what, your family will be taken care of, you never have to worry about nothing, you'll be taken care of.
There could be that possibility of some sort of
I might have watched a lot of Hollywood movies, but from where I'm sitting, I'm like, it's going to be very difficult then.
Because we've seen videos of that. The guy is old, you know? Mm. Old is an understatement.
Yeah.
He's beyond senior citizenry in this country.
Mm.
We've got some thoughts that came through this morning, but the late SACP's leader's widow, Mamdimpo Hani, did not hold back after the court proceedings when the Concord made that ruling. Take a listen.
Couldn't be bothered. All of them.
Did Minister Lamola talk to you when he made his decision?
Leave the minister. I don't deal with ministers. I'm dealing with courts. No. I've been in courts in and out. And Wallace has lost all the cases. Okay. Now he comes here. This one's because in South Africa, there are gods. What they say goes. I wish them the best. You know, do you know about karma? Watch the space, all of them. Watch karma. I give them 2 years.
Yes. Have you decided on a way forward?
Talk to me after 2 years. Karma exists. All of them there, sitting there, from Zondo downwards. Mm. This judgment is diabolical, totally diabolical. I've never seen anything like this. And my understanding of Zondo's judgment, as he was talking, indirectly he says, Walus did well to kill my husband. Now let me give you free information. If my husband was not killed, we'd never have had elections. Mandela, after my husband was murdered, said to de Klerk, for us to stop this, give us election date. That's why Zondo and his friends today are sitting in this court. Otherwise, we'll still be under apartheid. He'll be somewhere in a shack doing his practice. Give me a break. Lindy, where's his suit? I give it to you, my dear sister. You are vindicated today. South Africans, learn to listen to black people when they tell you about justice in this country. We are in full stop. I think this is turned. I can't have any more. What they say goes. But I'm telling you, the God that I pray, I give them 3 years, all of them, including that son of yours.
Heartbreaking, eh? Just listening to her, man, breaks my heart.
Heartbreaking.
All she wants is just closure.
Mm. The truth.
The truth.
Yeah.
You can send us your comments on 079-899-6226. Leave us a voice note or text. It's 11 minutes after 7. Welcome to the second hour of the show. Getting you ready for school, getting you ready for work, and getting you ready for your side hustle. Justice Zondo's side hustle seems to be going very well. Ordering the release of Janus Walus.
Side hustle, you say. Anyway.
The Constitutional Court ordered the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services to place on parole within 10 days Janus Walus, the assassin who murdered Chris Hani in cold blood on the 10th of April in 1993. Our guest this morning is leadership from the University of Limpopo, Department of Cultural and Political Studies, and that conversation continues up next.
Capricorn Breakfast. Yeah, Baba.
And right now we continue with the conversation this morning, talking about the Concord overturning correctional services decision not to grant Janus Walus parole. We're talking to Professor Sekgote Mokgwajane from the Department of Cultural and Political Studies at the University of Limpopo. Good morning, Prof. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you and good morning to the listeners.
Prof, maybe the premise of our conversation, let's start it a bit way back, you know, especially taking into account the kind of emotion this has evoked. Let's go into our archives and look into history and help us have an understanding of why the killing of Chris Hani has been followed by such emotion that is felt to this day. Let's talk about the history of this case.
Remember, Chris Hani was killed in 1993. 1993 was just 3 years after the release of Mandela. There was already hope for a new democracy and liberation movements to take over the country at that time. And something that had just happened before that, when the negotiations had started, the right winger stormed the World Trade Center, which affected Cordesa. When Hani was killed, it was a clear indication that there's a sector of the population that does not accept change. There's a sector that is not willing to go forward, that is not willing to negotiate, or not even willing to be to have a transition, because the likelihood was that whatever happens beyond the negotiation table, there was going to be a black government, which right wingers will not tolerate. And you can see the sporadic attacks that happened until today. You can still see the remnants of those people in terms of the cases that we have had of racism. And these cases spring out of the history that people have never thought Africans were, or black people were people by themselves. And therefore, now when Hani was killed in 1993 in execution style, an assassination, it was very brutal by Janus Waluz. And you can also say to yourself, remember Janus Waluz was a Polish resident. He came to South Africa in 1986 and took a dual citizenship. You can almost see that there was a plan. It was part of a grand plan to be able to assassinate leaders of the ANC. Chris Hani was seen as the greatest threat to the apartheid regime. You can see he was tipped to be killed, and especially that he was seen to be somebody, as compared to Mandela, the Mandela was a little bit warm, and as compared to Hani, and Hani was tipped to be the successor to Mandela. As a result, they were seeing him as a menace to a new government to come, and therefore they were trying to protect white minority rights, making sure that the whites who were minority continue in perpetuity to become majority in disguise. And therefore, the murder of Hani represented an anti-climax of the revolution, because everybody was almost seeing a transition towards elections and democracy. But when Hani was killed, there was a lot of hullabaloo in terms of why was he killed, who could be involved, to the extent that it caused discontent even within the liberation movement, suspecting each other that some of the leaders of the ANC or some of the leaders of the revolution might have had their hand in the killing of Hani as a way to eliminate. Therefore, the crisis that gripped South Africa at that time,
yeah,
it is exactly the same crisis that is gripping us today, that his release represents almost that kind of division that was there in 1993. And 1994. Now, today, when he's released, there's a lot of discontent from, and there is also the issue of opportunism, that people want to use the name of Hani today to be able to promote a particular faction or a particular view in society, not necessarily a view that represents a different ideology, but something that will give them a ticket to go and ascend to the throne as fast as it could.
Yeah.
Because, you know, factions always use expediency.
Prof, let's look at Minister Ronald Lamola's reasons for denying the parole. One being that a strong message needs to be sent that assassinating political leaders was unacceptable. What are your thoughts on that?
Lamola is still angry. Lamola has not healed. Remember, we have a project in South Africa to heal the nation. We have a project of reconciliation in South Africa. Nobody has yet told us that we have broken away from the reconciliation project. Until we are told that the reconciliation project is over, the messages that we are sending by keeping him in prison, even beyond 25 years, which is much more than any period you can spend if you are serving a life sentence, we are not sending a good message. Lamola should lead by example and be able to demonstrate that we need each other in the country. We need to forgive and forget. Yes, it was traumatic. Yes, it was not a good thing to happen. Yes, the dangerous act, also very treacherous, what Janus Waluz did with whoever was planning with him. But the time has come to demonstrate to the world that South Africa has policy of reconciliation that has been dominant since Mandela.
Yeah.
But when people want to bring an end to these, to accepting each other, tolerating one another, they must say so. Otherwise, we are going to go back to a civil war.
Noted. And what is most likely to follow after this?
Look, Janus Walos is not a threat. He might be, if he's a threat, therefore, it's because he's connected to other people who are obviously outside prison. Now, let him enjoy his freedom, but what is going to happen is we're going to have a rift within the ruling party, because already you've got about 5 people who are gunning for president. I've not seen something like this, that old people especially are fighting to become presidents when they are young people. Therefore, all of them are going to steal the show. They are going to try to steal the show by using Hani's murder, as well as the release of Janus Walos as the ticket to ascend the throne. It's a complex time. It's very difficult, I know.
Ruja Prof. Let's leave it here for today. Thank you so much for making time to talk to us. That was Professor Sekgotem Mkhwanjani from the Department of Cultural and Political Studies at the University of Limpopo.
What's your reaction to the ruling by the Concord to grant this Inkabi parole? You can find us on WhatsApp on 079-899-6226. Your thoughts on the ruling by the Concord to grant Chris Hani's killer Janus Walos parole? One in, one out. I hear the correctional service is also studying the whole ruling around Zuma. Well, you must go back to prison.
One in, one out.
Nyangenia Puma. Nyangenia Puma.
In Genjani,
Lena.
So we received a couple of your messages, and we'll be reading some and going through the voice notes that you sent us. So here are your messages. This one is from MJ Mojapelo in Mokopani, and it says, good morning, team. I might be wrong, but I thought life sentence is a period of 25 years according to the law. Janus Walos has exceeded that period in prison. I don't see anything wrong with giving him parole. I mean, he refused a long time to tell who sent him to kill Chris Hani. What is the state hoping to achieve by keeping him in prison beyond his prescribed sentence?
I also have another one from Twitter here. It's from Unarine. Unarine says, if he qualifies for parole, pay our laws, let him be released. That law should apply equally to everyone in the country.
All right, there's also a couple of messages that you sent through. This is what you had to say.
Good morning, Complexion and Info. Just a point of correction on the surname Ncube.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Morning, team.
Yes, sir.
The Prince, aka Incompletion, Mom Hollywood. Team, nah, I'm not happy about the ruling. Bruh.
Your reasons?
Ma South Africa na molao go tsotsa. Molao o shumela batho ba balezaka, rena di tshwana braga. Ah, o shumela go tsotsa. O na le tshelete ya le drongo. Drongo ke di tshwana. And I think or molao ma South Africa o capturele. Awa, ha o bere ke selo braga. O kona bola motho mo. Nas, o mtsona wako. Mara na ka utswa perfume go Shoprite. Oh my God, like it's only 6 months to 10 months. So I don't know how much South Africa, my bro.
Wow.
Nice. But when it's another big deal, I don't know how much.
Thank you for that message. Asking for okay, I'm allowed.
Money, Jim. Another moment by Fab Tonili on the CD. By the ANC. Martinez. I knew something was wrong. I think both National Party and ANC knew why they assassinate Hani. They know very well.
You don't
some
say.
Some people of ANC know very well why they assassinate Chris Hani, and they know very well. But let's not hit the bush. The guy will never say who said, because he knows what would happen to his family. And I think, it's good, because back then, I agreed to sue them until I then the guy never showed remorse, because I think I never got to work in my room. The thing shows already. Both National Party and ANC knows it too.
All right. Sure. Thank you, brother. He sounds very convinced. It's like he's got some 411.
No.
Some intel.
And he's roping us in.
Yeah, you know, this is what happened. These are people you don't want to find at an accident scene, you know. Because they arrived 10 minutes later, but they'll tell you what happened. It was coming from this direction. when it got there, he had a tire burst, and then it came to this.
But you know, there are people who can read the.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.